The difference in Richard Hudnut and Rich Cream shampoo is this. It's made with real egg formula. You know that egg is a natural beautifier for your hair, and scientists agree about that. Richard Hudnut shampoo with real egg formula makes even dull, dry hair shining clean, shining bright and beautiful. Get the shampoo with shine in it. Richard Hudnut Enriched Cream Shampoo.
Wait a minute, Mr. Baldwin. Here I am again. I brought you a new batch of eggs for that Hudnut shampoo.
Oh, that's wonderful, Mortimer. Yeah. But look, one of these eggs is so much larger than the others. Why is that?
Well, one of my hens is an awful show-off.
Oh, Mortimer. Now, here's Edgar Bergen.
I would like to thank Marilyn Monroe for helping us to have so much fun tonight. Until next Sunday, then, good night, everyone.
Remember to listen to Edgar Bergen with Charlie McCarthy, Mortimer Slade, Ray Noble, and the entire ensemble, brought to you by Richard Hudnut of Fifth Avenue, every Sunday over the CBS radio network at the same time. The voices of Gabriel Heater, Arthur Godfrey, Walter Winchell, and Winston Churchill were played by Dave Barry. Marilyn Monroe appeared through the courtesy of 20th Century Fox, producers of the Daryl F. Zanuck Technicolor production, The Snows of Kilimanjaro. Tonight's Edgar Bergen Show with Jack Kirkwood was produced and transcribed in Hollywood by Sam Pierce. This is Bill Baldwin speaking.
This is the CBS Radio Network.
On my birth certificate, I believe it says profession, baker. So she was just trying to think quickly, I guess, and said baker. Well, in all my school records, it was Norma Jean Baker. In fact, I was always told, by the way, when I was very young, that my father was killed in an automobile accident in New York before I was born. When I was very young, I was told that. Yes.
As regards your mother, to you she was just a woman with a red hair.
Actually, she was. You see, when I was very young, I called every woman I would see. I'd say, "Well, there's a mama," and if I would see a man, I'd say, "There's a daddy," or "Papa," I guess you say in French. To learn that she was my mother was quite a shock. You know, it was a woman with the red hair. The people I was staying with, I was about three, and one morning I was having a bath, actually, and I referred to the woman as Mama, and she said, "I'm not your mother. The one who comes here with the red hair and so forth, she's your mother. Don't call me mother anymore. Call me aunt so and so." But the one I was concerned was her husband. I says, "But he's my daddy." She said, "No. You call him uncle so and so." Although they weren't my aunt and uncle. I never lived with my mother. I don't know about the 12 days old. I don't remember, but I know I was very young. No, I used to ask where my mother was when when I was put in the orphanage home, and I refused to go into the orphanage home. I mean, I said, I saw the orphan, I could read the 10, orphan, and I put my feet down on the sidewalk, and they had to drag me, and I said, "I'm not an orphan." And so, I thought, well, she's dead somewhere, and then later some people said, well, it's better you forget about your mother. I said, "Well, where is my mother?" And I said, "Better you forget about her, she's dead." So I was told that. So whatever invented, I don't know what they mean by it. It was all kind of vague. You know, I couldn't find out anything for sure. When I had a birthday at 8 years old, and so I would still be seven, and my mother did buy a home.
I'm 13.
But I didn't see her very often. It was very... well, the circumstance is very unhappy and kind of haphazard. I didn't see her very much. The English couple that I told you, they used to take me to the Egyptian, where they used to have monkeys in cages outside, and they put me there early in the morning, and I'd watch the monkeys. And or else they'd take me to the Grand Chinese. I tried to fit my foot. My feet prints are there now, but I would try to, you know, but they had these, what do you call those, high vamp.
These Gloria Swanson and the people.
Yeah, and I never could get my feet in there. My feet were always too big. Every Saturday and Sunday, I was taken there because they worked during the week. They worked very hard, and they didn't want to be bothered with a child's wrong house, I think. You know, it's, you can't blame them. They were very tired. And so I was taken there in the morning and wait till the movie opened for 10 cents. I would go in, sit in the first row, and I watched all kinds of movies like Cleopatra with Claudia Colbert. That I remembered very well. I'd sit there and I'd see it over and over and over and over again. Till late at night. I was supposed to come out at dark, but of course I didn't know when it was dark, just before dark. Because with their conscience, they didn't want me to come, you know, at night, but I never knew when it was dark. Besides, it was much nicer there. You know, just seeing the movie over and over and over and over again.
Swell. for Hollywood.
She wanted to be an actress. She worked the system to her own advantage. Johnny Hyde was one of the most influential agents in the country. Johnny Hyde loved her. He left his wife on her account. He was 53, 30 years old, and she was very wealthy. Hyde had access to the most powerful people in Hollywood. He was also seriously ill and had less than 18 months to live. Hyde devoted those months totally to Marilyn, the sugar daddy.
Every baby needs a daddy to keep her worry-free.
By night, he escorted her to the top people in town.
Daddy, but where's the one for me?
By day, he praised Marilyn's talents.
Marilyn Monroe and Jane Russell are welcomed by George Bowser, manager of the Fox.
Every baby needs a dad, dad, daddy. Could my dad, daddy be you?
Just being able to be another human being.
Johnny Hyde.
To be someplace.
Who's a dear little man. Wonderful little man. You know about him. Yes. Johnny was in love with her. Yes.
There is a need for a loneliness. You know?
Johnny Hyde spoke to me about her first and then brought her over to Metro. Very fresh.
She wanted to be an actress. She worked the system to her own advantage. Johnny Hyde was one of the most influential agents in the country. Johnny Hyde loved her. He left his wife on her account. He was 53, 30 years older than she was, and very wealthy. Hyde had access to the most powerful people in Hollywood. He was also seriously ill and had less than 18 months to live. I devoted those months totally to Marilyn, the sugar daddy. She wanted to be an actress. She worked the system to her own advantage. Johnny Hyde was one of the most influential agents in the country. Johnny Hyde loved her. He left his wife on her account. He was 53, 30 years older than she was, and very wealthy. Hyde had access to the most powerful people in Hollywood. He was also seriously ill and had less than 18 months to live. Hyde devoted those months totally to Marilyn, the sugar daddy.
Every baby needs a dad, dad, daddy to keep her worry-free.
By night, he escorted her to the top people in town.
Dad, dad, daddy, but where's the one for me?
By day, he praised Marilyn's talents. Having Hyde's patronage could make her a star.
Every baby needs a dad, dad, daddy. Could my dad, daddy be you?
Just being able to be another human being.
Johnny Hyde.
Who's
a dear little man, wonderful little man. You know about him.
Yes.
Johnny was in love with her.
Yes.
There is a need for aloneness, you know.
Johnny Hyde spoke to me about her first and then brought her over to Metro. Just very fresh, very attractive, rather timid. Shy, and we talked to her and gave her a script. She went away and came back a day or two later, and while Marilyn read her lines, and she read them very beautifully, very well, and there was no question, she was ideal for the part.
In the actual jungle.
Yes, indeed. That was that.
Only once in a decade does the screen come up with such absorbing characters. Marilyn Monroe as Angela, the easy-living, green-eyed blonde.
Marilyn went to right down into her own personal experience for everything. She would reach down and pull something out of herself that was unique and extraordinary. She found things about womankind in herself. She had no technique. It was all the truth.
But I'm quiet to myself.
It was only Marilyn. But she was Marilyn plus.
It's an award to the popular new star.
And as best young box office personality, Miss Marilyn Monroe.
Thank you, Mr. Nichols.
It's Marilyn Monroe skyrocketing to new dramatic heights.
Marilyn Monroe, all of the moviegoers of America have voted you the most popular actress of the year. My congratulations.
Thank you, Mr. Sims.
Congratulations.
Thank you, Lauren. And my thanks to Look Magazine.
A Hollywood incident that marks another salute to Marilyn Monroe.
Thank you. I thank you very much.
Here comes a young lady who has created a real sensation in the picture business, having won all kinds of awards as the number one newcomer of the year. And believe me, a swell gal with a... Take it from me, I know her for a long time. Miss Marilyn Monroe. Let's go. Come on out here, Marilyn.
The rumors about John F. Kennedy and Marilyn Monroe were, of course, legion.
With Marilyn Monroe, I'm Jane Russell.
Just two little girls from Little Rock. We lived on the wrong side of the tracks. But the gentlemen friends who used to call, they never did seem to mind at all. They came to the wrong side of the tracks. Then someone broke my heart in Little Rock. So I and left the pieces there. Like a little lost lamb I roamed about. I came to New York and I found out that men are the same way everywhere. I was young and determined to be wined and dined in Nerman, and I worked at it all around the clock. Now one of these days in my fancy clothes, I'm a-going back home and punch the nose of the one who broke my heart. The one who broke my heart. The one who broke my heart in Little Rock. Little Rock, Little Rock. Little Rock. I'm just a little girl from Little Rock. A horse used to be my closest pal. Though I never did learn to read or write, I learned about love in the pale moonlight, and now I'm an educated gal. I learned an awful lot in Little Rock, and here's some advice I'd like to share. Find a gentleman who is shy or bald, or short or tall, or young or old.
As long as the guy's a millionaire. For a kid from a small street, I did very well on Wall Street, though I never owned a share of stock. And now that I'm known in the biggest banks, I'm going back home and give my thanks to the one who broke my heart.
The one who broke my heart.
The one who broke my heart. In Little Rock.
Well, how does it feel being yourself? That's exactly how I feel. I didn't know. One time a very wonderful director, Kazan, said, I had no ambition. That was my problem, my trouble. But I would like very much to be...
The Hollywood psychiatrist.
A fine actress. A true actress, that's what I mean by fine. A real actress. I would like to be happy, but who's happy? I think trying to be happy is almost as difficult as trying to be a good actress. You have to work at both of them. Comedy is harder for me. I mean, it's just hard to learn comedy, I think. For me. It seems that way. But I would like a variety of parts. You know, dramatic, sometimes comedy. Not musical too much, because... Not too much, because... I never studied it. I always wanted to, but I never did. And it's very difficult. And after you've finished it, they say, you just did it like that. And really, all you do is good. It's so much
true.
Looks easy. Looks like you just walked through it. And I've never studied that, either singing or dancing. Takes its toll. I think an artist, I consider myself becoming an artist, though, excuse me, some people will laugh. I don't apologize to you, but to them I apologize. You know, the work is so, you know, you try to be true, and you feel sometimes it's on the verge of a kind of craziness, but it isn't really craziness. It's really getting the truest part of yourself out, and it's very hard, you know. I mean, it's not easy, let's say. And yet it can be very simple at the same time. Being an artist, because sometimes you think, oh, well, all I have to be is true, but sometimes it doesn't come so easily. Well, I always have a secret feeling that I'm really a fake or something, or phony, or you know how people feel about themselves. They have something secret they feel about themselves. I always feel that. I know my teacher says, why do you feel that about yourself? And then he starts to say, but you're a human being. I said, yes, I am. I said, but I feel like I have to be more. He says, no. He says, you start with yourself, Lee Strasberg. I think probably he changed my life more than any other human being that I've met, including everyone. Because when I started to work with him, I would sort of assume something. He says, what are you doing? I said, well, I have to get into the part. He says, no, but you're a human being, so you start with yourself. I said, but with me? He said, yes, with you. So, in a way, if you can concentrate correctly, I don't mean deep thinking where you're pounding your skull, but if you can just concentrate simply, that's what I mean about being easy. Anyway, he helped me a great deal. I have a hard time at it. I don't know. I might leave something out, but I won't put anything else in extra. I might leave something out because, to my benefit, or somebody else's benefit, hurt people or hurt myself sometimes, you know. We all want to protect ourselves also. So I might be something else, but I don't think I'd I don't think I lie. At least if I would try, it's difficult.
I'll tell you, I'm terribly grateful, because I remember when things weren't like this at all.
I saw it a time or two. Years have gone by.
Yeah. So she, by now, presumably looked different.
By now, she was dressed to the T's, and she'd become the sex symbol of this country. And it wasn't just a sex thing at all. Women felt just the same as men. There was something deeply moving about Marilyn, always. There was something so vulnerable, something she felt destroyed.
Speaking now not only as an agent of the Bureau, but also as a human being. What really went on between Marilyn Monroe and the Kennedys? And who really pulled the trigger on JFK?
Stiff knees, you stand straight as Tiffany.
all I wanted was money and diamonds. But now, for the first time, I realize that all I really want is you.
Beryl.
Dream on, Mr. Benny, dream on.
Marilyn. Marilyn, I'm mad about you.
I'm mad about you too, Jack. Jack.
Yeah.
Jack. Will you do something wonderful for me? It would make me very happy.
Well, of course, Marilyn. I'd do anything. Anything for you. What is it?
Well, in my next picture, there's going to be so many love scenes. I want you for my leading man.
Oh, Marilyn, I'd love to be your leading man.
Good. Now, if we can only get permission from Daryl Zanuck.
Why? Who did Mr. Zanuck have in mind?
Himself.
Gee, Marilyn. I just can't get over. Just the both of us here, all alone, on the Lurley.
Yes, Jack. I never dreamed it could happen to I.
Neither did me. Marilyn, why are you sighing?
I was just thinking, Jack, how generous you are. Just so we could be alone on this trip, you chartered the Laureline for $600,000.
I did?
If that doesn't wake him up, nothing will.
Marilyn. Marilyn, I know this is sudden. But will you marry me?
Marry? But look at the difference in our ages.
Well, there isn't much difference, Marilyn. You're 25 and I'm 39.
Yes, but what about 25 years from now, when I'm 50 and you're 39?
Gee, I never thought of that.
I did.
You shut up! Marilyn. Marilyn, will you have dinner with me tonight?
I'd love to, Jack. Thanks ever so.
At 8 o'clock?
All right, but I better be going now. Bye, bye. Baby, remember, you're my baby. When they give you strange.
What's strange?
I'm so crazy about you, but that kiss didn't affect me at all.
That's funny. I'm a wreck.
See you later, Jack.
Don't forget. Marilyn, don't forget dinner tonight.
I won't.
At 8 o'clock.
I'll remember.
Marilyn, come back here a minute. Please come back. Marilyn, give me one more kiss before you go.
A fine romance, my good fellow. You take romance, I'll take jello. You come than the seals in the Arctic Ocean. They they flap their fins to express emotion. A fine romance with no quarrels, with no insults and all morals. I've never mussed a crease in your blue serge pants. I never get the chance. This is a fine romance. A fine romance with no kisses. A fine romance, my friend. This is true love. Should have the thrills that a healthy crime has. We don't have half the thrills that the march of time has. A fine romance with no clinches. A fine romance with no pinches. You're just as hard to like as the Ile de France. I haven't got a chance. My heart's not made of plastic. You're the reason I'm sarcastic. Cause this is a fine, fine romance. Huh.
If I had one wish, it would be this: to turn back the years to moments like this. Elvis and Marilyn were the king and queen.
Yes, it's true. Elvis copied me. My hairstyle, my looks, my smile, my joy, my charm, my Bronx rebelliousness. Huh? And he passed it on to four guys in Liverpool. And they were called the Beatles, right? So you can surmise that if it wasn't for Tony Curtis.
Tony Curtis, what was she like to work with?
She was the best. This first guy that spoke doesn't know what he's talking about. Let me tell you. They've taken this woman and kind of blown it into something that never existed. They keep writing books about her. They keep, there was a movie out about her called Blondie or something. And it's got nothing to do with what Marilyn was like. Absolutely nothing. An interview in a restaurant or spending a weekend somewhere does not give you a clue to what was the madness of this woman. She was so sensitive to the world. She was not prepared. She was ill, physically ill and mentally ill when we did Some Like It Hot. I knew her 10 years earlier. We were good friends. We were lovers. And then here we are making this movie. And everybody's screaming at her, get there on time, you're late. We're going to put you on suspension. You're going to get kicked off the film. There was no one around her to be her friend. Marilyn was not that complicated, guys. She wasn't that vulnerable either. She was a tough, beautiful woman. And I never said kissing her was like kissing Hitler. She
you
and
didn't
I were,
say it was you.
Never said. Yeah, well, that's what this guy implies.
No, he didn't.
Well,
didn't.
Trust me, Larry, that's what they say. Okay. I said it, okay?
Right.
And that's not true. What? Let me explain something about Marilyn, okay?
Please.
Kind of clean up a lot of stuff because a lot of this is junk. Okay, you don't know what you're talking about. You talk in parables. Anyway, let me get back to Marilyn.
Okay.
About Marilyn. Marilyn, you know, had to capitulate and give in a lot of areas the beginning of her career. She was a very beautiful woman, and the only way a young woman in those days could make it, maybe today too, was to make themselves accessible to men's passions and lust. Okay?
Are you saying she slept around?
I beg your pardon?
She slept around?
Well, that's a nice way to put it, yes.
Okay.
And so she... She never forgot that, though. You see, most of us take those slings and arrows as part of the living experience, and as we get a little older, things change for us. It never happened with Marilyn. Marilyn never changed. She never forgot that humiliation of having to drop on her knees. She lived with Joe Skank and a handful of guys. So when she finally could make it, she was going to get even with everybody. She was a sweet, vulnerable woman who didn't forget what she had to go through to get started in the movies. Simple as that. You're not talking about the facts of a woman that is dead 40 some odd years. She was a vulnerable, sweet woman. Period. She was difficult. True. All the things that they say about her are true. Harry Crown and the monstrous movie mogul was a very fine and gentle man. And then she moved in with Joe Skank. So, you know, you're painting a picture that doesn't exist.
No. Get back.
Okay. All right. Yep.
11:503. It's 2 seconds. It's taken. You've got 2 days. We can do it.
Marilyn. Marilyn.
Okay. Yeah, one more. That was good.
Show business.
Okay.
Marilyn was not that person. She was a human.
502. Speed. 504.
Mr. Cukor on this film has been very wonderful.
Show business.
Okay.
Marilyn was not that person. She was a human.
502. Speed. 504.
Mr. Cukor on this film has been very wonderful.
Trying
to be happy with almost difficult
with trying
to be a good actor.
Yeah.
You have to work with both of them.
Marilyn.
Kissing
Hitler. Marilyn Monroe would have been 75 years old.
505.
I'm Larry King.
The
president is winding up his New York day here at Madison Square Garden at a sort of pre-birthday celebration. Mr. Kennedy has the best seat in the House at the function, and it will be starting just about now, the finale for this affair.
Bring on a little more.
up and down my spine. Same old witchcraft when your eyes read mine. That same old tingle that I feel inside. And then that elevator starts to slide. Down and down I go. All around I go. Like a leaf that turns hard. I could stay away, but what could I do? I hear your name. I'm a flame. A flame with sunshine burning desire. That only your kiss can put out that fire. Why, you're the lover I have played for. Gonna make that faded, me created foam. And every time my nose beats up, right all the way down and down I go. All around I go. In a spin, loving that spin that I'm in. Out of that old black magic called love.
There was a selling an auction at Christie's in 1999 of items owned by Marilyn Monroe, and Ripley's Museum, the famed museum here in Los Angeles, bought some of those items. They bought a Mexican sweater from her last photo shoot for $167,500, a fur-trimmed glass slippers for $85,000. Get this, for a personal makeup case, they paid $266,500. Other items you can see at Ripley's as well are a sexy baby doll pajamas, bed high heels with matching purse, red rather high heels with matching purse, and pearl studded teaspoons. Why?
Cut. 5:18.
Come back down in the center. I'm thinking of another back. All right, that's it. Thank you.
The power to heal you, never fear.
excerpt from Carl French's latest film. Carl, we're all a little mystified by your claim that your new film stars Marilyn Monroe.
It does, yes.
Who died over 10 years ago.
That's correct.
Are you lying?
No, it's just that she's very much in the public eye at the moment.
Does she have a big part?
She is the star of the film.
And dead?
Well, we dug her up and gave her a screen test, a mere formality in her case, and...
Can she still act?
Well, she still has this enormous, a kind of indefinable, no.
Was decomposition a problem?
We did have to put her in the fridge between takes.
What sort of things does she do in the film?
Well, we had her lying on beds, lying on floors, falling out of cupboards, scaring the children.
But surely Miss Monroe was cremated?
Well, we had to use a stand-in for some of the more visible shots.
Another actress.
A dead actress, but Monroe was in shot the whole time.
How?
Oh, in the ashtray, and a fire grate, and the vacuum cleaner.
So Marilyn does not appear in the film?
Not as such.
Mr. French, you're one of the film world's most arrogant queens. I mean, not just homosexual or gay or anything. I mean, you are a raving queen.
Well, yes.
I mean, a real screamer, a real whoops, get her, don't mind me, dear limp-wristed caricature.
Is that not in order?
No, that's fine. And I understand that you married the beautiful black heiress, Huina Tanoy, partly for the publicity, but mostly to cover up the fact that you prefer going out with little boys.
Look, really?
Carl, you're an effeminate little puff, a mincing gay bar loiterer, a Winnet-covered walking perfume shop, and an evil perverter of innocent little boys.
What? Really? Is this part of the interview?
No. I just wanted a few contacts.
Well, shouldn't we be talking about the film?
We've been off the air for ages. Now, where'd you find them?
Look, I think we are still on the air.
Oh, so the fucking air. Can't you still get locked up for that sort of thing?
Well, what about the film?
Just a few addresses, please.
Look, well, we've got James Dean in it, in a box.
You can turn the microphone off.
The public senses the essence of the person, and the essence of Marilyn was... She communicated a kind of truth.
Marilyn Monroe, Noritang.
And truth is very powerful.
Noritang. あの街この街この夜をどうするあなたならマリリンモンローノーリターンノーリターンこの世はもうじきおしまいだ俺たちは毎晩お祭りだ 結んで開いて蓮の花マンダラマンダラサボラギマリリンモンローノーリターンノーリターンこの世はもうじきおしまいだ桜散る散る菊も散るよくばりパパは長生きで 優しい娘は早死にだマリリンモンローノーリターンノーリターンノーリターンノーリターンノーリターンノーリターンこの世はもう しまいだ歩き疲れて西の果て真っ赤な真っ赤な日が沈むさよならさよならコカ・コーラマリリンモンローノーリターンノーリターンノーリターンこの世はもうじきおしまいだ霞と伸びく隅の川 青と鳥は鳴き浮かぶ魚の目に涙マリリンモンローノーリターンノーリターンノーリターンこの世はもうじきおしまいだ赤ん坊作るにゃ遅すぎるどなたの歌やら子守歌極楽極楽眠の里
Marilyn Monroe, no return.
No return, no return.
Marilyn Monroe, no return.
No return, no return.
Marilyn Monroe, no return.
No return, no return.
Marilyn Monroe, no return.
You know, when I walked out of 20th Century Fox and I went to New York and I stayed for, I don't know how many months, 15 months, 13 months, I don't know how many months, and the lawyer, you know, he said, he was telling me about my tax deductions, my I don't know what, and about